Well, hello everyone. I'm Rex Saldana, and it's been a while since our last podcast. September was our last Eurythmics podcast, and I'm once again joined by my longtime co-host Mark Stevens. And hi, Mark. And our special guest, Jonice Jameson, who doesn't really need any introduction to Eurythmics fans, but I'm going to introduce her anyways. She is known as She's
Hello.
part of what we call the Eurythmics family and the Revenge family, Revenge Band family. Also, the Revival family as well, because you did the Revival tour as well. Everybody seems to think
Absolutely.
about the Revenge, Revenge and Revival is kind of secondary, but you were there for Revival. So,
Sure
and of
was.
course, Joni's prominently featured on the Revenge album, her vocals in the videos. So we all know Joni. So welcome again. Thank you for joining
Thank
us.
you so much for the invitation. It's a pleasure being back with you guys and your Rhythmics world.
And hi, Mark.
Hello there.
Isn't it nice to be back in the saddle?
We've been with this is what happened though, Jonice. You don't know this, but Rex retired, and I've never seen anyone as busy in retirement as Rex. He just is always doing something. See, I'm thinking when I retire, I'm just going to sit around and do nothing. That's my goals.
No,
Well,
you don't want that. You don't want to sit around and do nothing.
I
Good for
tried
you,
that.
Bex. Keep it moving. Keep it moving.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly. I tried doing nothing for a little while, and that was fun, and then it got really old. So,
Absolutely. No, keep it moving.
I'll keep
well, and
track.
I also have been taking a social media break. I haven't really been posting a lot of stuff on my personal pages. Just because I just needed a break from it, it was
Sure.
getting a little stressful, and
Well,
no one pays me to do that, right? So, but I still update the Eurythmics fan page and all that stuff, so I'm still there. I'm just not as visible, but anyhow.
Because it's so much stuff going on. And sometimes, well, of course, the Eurythmics world is just positive and beautiful and all of that. But on, I'm getting my French and English. Outside of that, there's so much going on. It just takes your head. And sometimes you just really need to just step back and take a break. You really do.
And I'm not even sure how long the break will be, but it's still going.
Think I would do, if I didn't have to do social media with my job, my actual job. I don't know how. I think I'd be very close to what you're doing. A little bit of come back a little bit. I probably have in a way, but yeah, it's got something. But let's not talk about social media. But you look fantastic, Jonice, as always.
So much, my goodness, thank you.
My favorite podcast, and we did quite a few before our little break there. It's still my favorite podcast. I listened to it again.
Oh, thank you.
It is.
Think we laughed as much as we talked. It was just the most fun podcast ever.
And you laugh all over again listening to it.
It was such a blast. I so enjoyed it.
I
Let's do it
gotta
again.
point out your story about you and Annie signing autographs, and you signed it Tina Turner, and she signed it Madonna.
Exactly.
If you've not heard,
I didn't know the difference, a bunch of young girls,
know they were probably like, "What? Let's just go with it."
Not heard podcast. You have to listen to the whole thing just for that one story, if nothing else, because it's. But let's get into this podcast.
Yes.
So, like I said, I was watching, listening to it yesterday, just to kind of refresh my memory. But when first recorded that in 2022, you said you were open to a second podcast, and I believe your quote was, "Whenever you're ready." So here we are.
So 2 years
Okay. Now
later.
your sound is going in and out, Mark.
I should probably sit still. How's that? Have a tendency.
I think that doesn't show up in the final audio anyways. I think they clean that up, but I could
Okay.
be wrong.
But one thing we talked about the last time that you had, of course, toured the Revenge and Revival, as Rex just mentioned. But if you all remember, we came up with name for the next tour, and it was Reunion Tour.
Right.
Revival and Reunion. Now, Jonice, you sort of have done that. You and Dave reunited for his Eurythmics Sweet Dreams 40th anniversary tour. You reunited with Dave and Paris.
Yes, yes, yes. So,
kind of in a little strange kind of way, came about. So, and you and I were corresponding or something at the time, and you were telling me some great stories. And you're really great. What you'll send me audio clips. You'll talk to me with an audio clip, and I love that. I love to hear your voice.
It's easier than typing, right?
Amazing.
But you tell me some great stories about that. And it was such, you know, you also told us when you first met Dave all those years ago, when you went into the recording studio the first time and he offered you, the first thing he did was offered you a chocolate chip cookie.
Absolutely.
This time was equally the cool way that Dave does things, or the weird way that Dave does things. So tell us about how it happened. You were several weeks in. So tell us about that. I'm going to let you tell that story.
I'm on tour, my 1980s tour, and I get a message from a Facebook message from Dave Stewart saying that he's going to be in Paris at the La Salle Pleyel in November. And so I said, oh, wow, that's so great. I'd love to come. You know, who do I get in touch with? I'd love to come see you. And I think he might have said, okay, I'll let you know or something. I don't know. But in the interim, there were several people contacting me saying, are you going to be with the, are you going to be with Dave in Paris? I'm like, no. They had started asking me this like months and months before the show. And I'm like, no, I don't think so. No, not at all. And some people were saying, well, no, it won't be right. If you're not on the show with him in Paris, it's just not right. And I'm like, well, I can't imagine him contacting me after all this time, you know. And so at one point, publicity maybe of the tour, a commercial or something about the tour. And I see him with these fantastic singers. I'm like, well, I know he's not going to call me, you know. I'm like, what in the world? What does he need me for? Good heavens. But then months had passed, and then when he did contact me, and so I said, yeah, I'd love to come. Then I think either the next day he said, well, I would love to invite you on stage to perform with us. I'm like, what? Yeah, I'm ready. I'm back tomorrow. I'll be there. I'm ready to go. I'm so excited. And then I had no more news from him. So I was like, okay, what's going on? So then I would send him messages and he would never return my messages because I was like, okay, what do we do? Tell me what songs I have to sing on, you know, what time the sound check is going to be, you know, and just nothing. And like weeks later, he sent me a message on Facebook Messenger, but the sound was distorted. I couldn't understand a word he was saying. So I immediately sent him a message back telling him, Dave, I didn't hear what you said. Please, can you please resend the message so I can find out what it is you said, because I don't know whether you're telling me songs. I don't know what it is that you're doing. So nothing. I'm like, what on earth? So then I tried to contact him again, and there's just nothing, just empty, no news. So in my mind, I said, oh, well, you know, I guess he changed his mind, you know. So, okay. And I really didn't think, well, I tried not to think about it anymore. And I think the show was on a Monday or a Tuesday, I'm not quite sure. I see what he has posted on Saturday that I'm going to be with them. I'm like,
Yeah.
what? So it is going on. So I think that was Saturday. The show might have been Monday or Tuesday, and I didn't know what songs I was going to be doing. I was in the panic. And finally, he sent me a word. He sent me a little list of what it was going to be. And so then I said, okay, what time should I be there? What time is sound check? He wasn't quite sure. I think the day of the sound check, I might have gotten a message from him saying what time to be there. So I walk in, I get to the place, and oh my God, I'm greeted by these amazing young women. His band. And I'm looking, I'm like, oh God, what am I doing here? But they were so gracious and so kind. And I'm like, okay, I didn't know how to be because I was like, okay, I don't want them to think, oh, here's this old lady trying to butt in, and who does she think she is or why is she here? I mean, I just had all these stories, just I was concocting my own stuff in my mind. And but they were so nice and arms open wide. And once I stepped foot on stage with them, it was like I was a part of them. I didn't feel any kind of a distance, and they were just so sweet with me. And it was just such a pleasure. Such a pleasure.
That's
Yeah.
wonderful.
I saw that. I saw the tour here in the States about 6 weeks ago, and
Oh.
it really was outstanding. I thought it was absolutely wonderful, and I
Thank
have
you.
watched some YouTube clips from the Paris show with you. Yeah, I would love to have you been a big part of that. That would have been so fantastic. But it is a a great team of singers, and you're right. So, and now at that show, I'm assuming Dave's daughter was at the
Oh
Paris.
my God, yes. She was one of the singers. She was one of the singers. And then there were two other singers. I mean, extraordinary. Each one was just, it just heightened. It just went up and up and up. I'm like, oh my God. And they were just phenomenal. And then the musicians, it's a female band. They were all the harmonica player. I was like, what? Because Jimmy Z, he's hard to touch,
Right.
He's hard to touch. But girlfriend was hanging. She was hanging.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow. She was really great. They were all so good.
It was very impressive. I saw the tour in Oakland back in January. A while before Mark saw it.
But you probably, you were, Rex, you were probably at one of the first US shows, and I was at one of the last US shows.
Yeah, I
So.
think it was like the fourth or fifth show on, because they started that in
Wow.
Montana.
Is it still going on? They're still on tour?
It's starting again in July for
Okay.
some European dates. So,
Oh, well, I don't know. But well, no,
yeah.
I think I've done my stint and I think that's probably it. And I'm so grateful for it. But it's a great concept. It really is, because I mean, who can replace Annie? You need 10 singers to equal her, So, well,
Yeah,
it was a
I
great
kept thinking
concept.
as I was watching it that I wasn't missing Annie, but then sometimes I was, but then all of a sudden I wasn't anymore. And so, like you were saying, it was just so well done. I mean,
It was so well crafted. And I remember being backstage because I came on basically towards the end of the show. So I was backstage watching on the screen, and it was just so overwhelming for me. I mean, I caught myself, trying to not cry a few times. I was just overjoyed to hear all those songs again. And even though it wasn't Annie, but those songs are classics. They're legends. So, hearing them rendered by other people and being a part of that, it was just so overwhelming. It was just, gosh, I was so happy. I was just so happy.
did you get a sense how happy the audience was too? I'm sure seeing you come out on stage. Because you really are part of the Eurythmics family to a lot of fans. You really are.
I didn't notice, but my friends who were there, they said, Johnny's, when you came out, you got an ovation. I honestly didn't. I didn't know. I didn't see. I didn't notice it. I was just too nervous, trying to remember the lyrics. trying to blend in vocally with the others, you know. And so I honestly did not notice it. But yeah, and then
I was just going to segue to Cameron,
having Cameron there, and he presented me with a beautiful bouquet of roses at the bottom of the stage, and it was, oh, it was like a dream. It was like a dream. Yeah,
Cameron
I'm
is such a great guy.
sorry. Oh, I love him so. I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to spend just a little more time with Dave. You know, in retrospect, I was, you know, it's been over 30 years, so none of us are like we were 30 years ago. But back in those days, Dave was really zany and quirky and wacky and funny. But this time it was very serious. It was
Really?
Like a totally different Dave. He was so serious. I maybe he was like tired because I think he had a lot of interviews he was doing, you know. And after the show was over, I mean, he went directly to his dressing room, and I kind of felt like I just wanted to say goodbye to him. I didn't really want to just leave, you know. So I asked his manager, I don't know, maybe she was the production manager, I don't know who she was, and asked her, could I please go and say goodbye to Dave? So she says, well, just wait right here. Let me check. Oh, huh? I was so deflated, my God.
Do you know who I am?
Well, you know, and so, you know, they allowed me in to see him, but it was all so formal and so, it was just weird. But anyway, I was glad to at least say goodbye, you know. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, you know, a lot of fans were at that show, like Cameron and and that the London show too, a lot of fans were there, and
a big
party, and I think even the reviews mentioned about how there were all these fans there rejoicing and being happy in the music, and so what a fantastic experience.
Yeah, because I think There were a few people who had backstage passes, and I think that they probably wanted to, you know, at least maybe like say hi or something, shake his hand or something. But he just went on to his dressing room, and he just seemed so shy. He just was not the same crazy, bubbly. He was just so shy and I don't know. He was just so shy, and he seemed very introverted, you know, which was just not, but we all, you know, we change.
Well, like you said, it was 30 years ago.
I'm expecting that crazy, you want a cookie kind of guy, you know.
Now, that was just a normal cookie, right, that he gave you? There wasn't anything.
No. What? No. Weren't in Amsterdam.
I did get to meet him after my show.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, but and of course, now I had never met him before in person.
No, are you serious?
He was quite energetic and happy, but I was also being very careful that, you know, I didn't want to overstay my welcome, kind of thing. So, I do think, Jonice, it's interesting because I think, you know, early in the tour, which this would have been. I think he was probably wondering, you know, how it was going to be received, you know,
sure. Because,
it was without Annie. And that's the thing about this tour that if you haven't been, and I think a lot of people are like, how can you do that without Annie? It's about those songs. It's exactly what you just said a minute ago. Those songs are so good and so well written. and well designed, really. And they add a lot of new twists to them. And I think I'm certain of this by the end of this, the tour that stopped and now it's going to start again. Dave was in his groove. Dave was in his groove. So if he was kind of, kind of, okay, how's this going to go over, that kind of thing, I could see him being
Sure.
contemplative, how's this going to be? But,
That's probably it. That's probably it. And he was just he had been doing a lot of publicity throughout Europe, and he just I he was really probably just exhausted, you know. So yeah.
yeah, well,
Yeah.
like you said, we are all a little older.
Oh, yes, indeed. I'll say.
Oh, saw you. I think, first time I saw you, remember, I was 16 years old. Not 16 years old anymore. But
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
did you
So,
get a, did when you met the other singers, did you get any sense that they knew of how important you were to the Eurythmics?
yes, I did. They let me know. They really let me know. And one of them, it wasn't his daughter. Actually, it might have been one of the musicians, one of the other girls. She asked me, she said, I don't, she said, well, I don't know how you did it. She said, I don't know how you did it because it was just you. And it was just you doing all the background. She was like, I don't know how you did it. I don't know how, just the grace of God. I just kept going, kept going, kept going, kept harmonizing when I could, you know. So
That was, I just did it.
yeah, it was yeah, they were very sweet, very gracious.
That's great. So, we also wanted to talk a little bit about like what you're up to these days currently. I mean, we'll get back to some more Eurythmic stuff, but we know, I know that you tour a lot in is it Europe or is it just mostly in France or?
It's mostly in France. Well, France, Belgium, and Switzerland, the Francophone countries. So yeah, well, back in 1989, I had a few hits with this French singer named François Feldman, and 1989, 1980. So, in 2007, there was a there were these two guys who formed a group called the RFM Party 80. RFM was like a radio, it's a radio station. RFM was a radio station. And so they, oh my God, no, wait a minute. My son is at the door. He doesn't have the key.
Okay,
Oh,
that's okay. You
okay.
just go deal with that, and
Oh,
Mark and I will talk as
yeah, don't like that. Yes,
so Jonice is mentioning she had a couple of hits in like 89, 90, assuming that's in France. That's really interesting. That reminds me of her song on Rooftops, the soundtrack to the movie Meltdown. I know we talked about that on the last podcast, but
really is such a great song,
it
too.
is a great song, and I was kind of hoping that it would have done something back in the day because it was a good song. Her vocals sounded great, and
It may have, but the movie, I think the movie was fairly well received critically.
guys.
I don't think it was a hit, so perhaps it would have been
Right.
a bit more.
Yeah. Yeah, the movie
Okay, I'm coming.
got
Here
good
I am.
reviews.
I'm
Well,
coming.
we filled in the time talking about Meltdown. Remember that song, Meltdown?
Oh, I love that song. That was from the movie. It was from a Rooftops.
Rooftops, yeah. We were saying how the movie was critically acclaimed, got really good reviews, but didn't do much at the box office, you know.
Yeah,
So
that was
and just
Johnny.
and trivia directed by Robert Wise, who did The Sound of Music, so just saying.
There was some beautiful music on there.
So, Jonice, did you tell your son you're sitting here chatting with fans? Is that what you told him? Oh,
Well, he knew that I had a Zoom interview, but he forgot. Maybe he thought it was over or something. I don't know.
You tell him
He
I have to get back to my public.
yeah.
You know, you were talking a little bit, and there was something you brought up in the last podcast, and we didn't finish it. And I wanted
Yeah.
to ask, you said in 1980, you had come back to the States, and you went back to Switzerland, I believe it was, with a new group, and you
Yeah.
record an album. Did you ever record that album, and what was the name of the group? I think maybe your sister was in it. Is that right? Am I remembering?
Okay, it was one of my very good girlfriends named Debbie Davis and my cousin Jeanette Jameson, because
Okay.
I'm the only child. So it was Jeanette Jameson. But she didn't stay here long. I think she stayed in France. I don't she not even a year, well, a few months maybe. Yeah. She didn't really stay here long.
So you
And
didn't record the album?
I'm trying to think. We didn't do an album. We did at those days it was a 45. Going way back.
Sort of like a maxi single or something, or a
I
like
think
a
it was a
40.
45. If I know we recorded it, whether it came out or not, I don't remember. We did a song called Move It Up.
Yeah.
Move It Up. But
Okay,
I
so
don't, yeah.
what was the name of the group?
The name of the group was today's, no, that was another group. The name of that group was called it was called, might have been Deja Vu. Deja Vu.
Okay.
Deja Vu, I
All right.
think. Oh, Lord, it's going back.
Yes, so the assignment to everyone listening then is to go to all of your used record stores and find Deja Vu's single.
Yeah, I don't think it was a very small record company in Switzerland, and I know we recorded the song, but I don't think it came out. And we were just completely ripped off, so I don't think it didn't come out. Yeah.
Live and
Yeah.
learn, kind of
You
thing.
live and learn.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, and did we ever learn? Woo!
Did I hear correctly that we're all only children?
Well, I'm the only child. Are
I'm an only
you?
child.
No,
But Mark, you have a brother,
oh,
no?
you have a brother, Mark. Okay, all right.
An older brother. Yeah, but
Yeah.
he's the
So,
older, whatever. Janice and I know
okay.
what it's like to grow up with.
Yeah.
Not to dwell on this subject, but the one thing about being an only child that I had to get over was, you think when you think things, you think you're the only one thinking that, because you don't have anybody to bounce ideas off of. You don't have,
Sure.
so you
Yeah.
sometimes you tend to think I only, and then you find out everybody else thinks that way too, and you're like, oh, okay, I'm not so strange. That was my experience with only child.
Well, I was spoiled rotten, and I loved being an only child up until maybe my early adult years.
Yeah,
And then
right.
my thought always was, what will I do when something happens to my parents?
Yeah, and
I was
that's
a
happened to me now, and I know
yeah.
as well. I mean, I'm alone now,
Yeah,
and it is a
it's
weird thing. It's a very weird thing. But yes, I
yeah.
did enjoy it as well. It was nice to always have the TV and watch what I wanted to watch and do what I wanted to do
Absolutely.
and not
I
share
mean,
anything with anybody.
I was spoiled. I mean, I had my a car at 16. I was spoiled rotten. Yeah.
And look how you turned out. Just fine.
Thank you. Spoiled rotten and spoiled my kids rotten. So yeah.
And
And
grandkids
Grant, don't even
too,
talk about them. Woo! They are really spoiled.
right?
Yeah.
One good thing that my brother did was he's the one. He's responsible for me being here right now because he's the one who recorded Sweet Dreams off the radio and said, "You've got to hear this song. You're
Oh
not."
my God.
That's how I really came into really.
Okay.
That's a
That's
true
yeah.
story.
I do
Isn't
recall you
that
talking about
something
that.
how we would record songs off the radio? We
We had
just sit there with a little cassette player and
a little microphone.
I didn't even have a microphone. It's just a little flat tape recorder, but like this
I
biggest.
didn't have a microphone.
And then I'd be all mad when the DJ would talk over the intro to the song. It's like, be quiet. I'm trying to re trying to record this thing.
I don't
Gotcha.
want to.
You had a fancy Rex. You had a microphone. Back in my day, we didn't have
Oh.
microphones.
Oh, please, this is just a little plug-in microphone that went to the little cassette player, you know, and I would hold it up to the speaker. Yeah,
Fancy.
that.
Another thing I wanted to ask you that we did not talk about at the on the last podcast, the Mandela concert, the big Mandela concert.
Good one,
You
yeah.
the seven song set, and they ended with "Brand New Day," which had never been performed live in front of the public,
Right.
and ended it sort of kind of mixed it up with Stevie Wonder's "Happy Birthday."
Yes.
That really set the tone for that entire day. That was a great. Do you have memories of that particular show?
Do I have memories? Oh my God, I was standing next to Richard Gere and oh my God, walking around, it was Captain Belafonte walking through and Stevie Wonder being guided all around, and Whitney was running through, and it was just, I was in a candy store just going, no, like a tennis match, just heads going. My head was just, I couldn't believe I was amongst royalty, musical royalty. I mean, all of the greats, all of the greats. And just being there, I think there was a moment when I'm there, and it's like, I think it's Richard Gere and Whoopi Goldberg. I'm on the stage with them. I'm like, who does this? You know, a little girl from Southeast DC. I'm like, what? But it was such an amazing, I mean, amazing is not even the word. It was just, God, it was like being in a fairy tale or something and seeing all of these fabulous people and people you grew up with idolizing. Oh my God, it was Nick Ashford and Valerie Simpson and Natalie Cole and Harry Belafonte and then Denzel Washington and so many great people. It was phenomenal.
Like to be in a stadium like that and have that many people in front of you, you know, listening, watching, applauding. What is that like? I mean, that's overwhelming to look at, but to be part of it.
It's overwhelming. My first thought was, God, I hope my parents are watching this because I was just so proud to be a part of it. But in all actuality, for me, and it may not be for others, when it's overwhelming to see, I mean, the masses of people. But when you're performing, you just see a mass of people. So it's almost like you have no way of really, you feel like I like smaller venues where you can kind of like reach out and really touch the people. And like the smaller venues for me, like I really get nervous. Like for instance, I played with Dave at the La Salle Pleyel. It's a rather small venue. And so you really feel the people. You're like you want to know whether you have a piece of lettuce stuck in your tooth or something. I mean, it's just, you know, they're just right there. But when you're performing with these masses, it's just a mass of people. You can't even really see the faces of the people. You hear that they enjoy you, but you just see a mass of a sea of people. You know, I prefer smaller venues, yeah, for me.
When you're on stage and you're getting that kind of reaction from such a huge crowd, I mean, I've
Yeah.
heard stories about how, you know, after the show, people go back to their rooms and they feel it's a very odd feeling because they were just in a situation where thousands and thousands of people were just adoring them, and then all of a sudden they're in a room all by themselves.
The
What is that like?
absoluteness. It's a very It's a very dark, dreary kind of feeling. It really
Okay.
is. Because you go back to the room or you come back home. Like, for instance, this happened to me just yesterday. I was in Switzerland. We did a show in Switzerland Saturday where there's like people and there's thousands and they're just, you know. And then you come back home, you do your train ride and all, you get back home. I got home last night and I felt so sad. And there's nothing to be sad about because I had a great show. But, you know, you get
You
all
have
that
that
adrenaline
high.
and yeah, you get so high. And that's why a lot of times, like I know on this 1980s tour, it's very rare that we all go back to our rooms after the show. There's always a bar in the hotel, and we go to the bar. We throw our suitcases in the room and skittle down to the bar because you just can't go to sleep. You just can't stay in your room unless you're like extremely tired, you know. But all of that, you've just got to come down, just come down. And like last night, I was, you know, I came home, took a nice hot bath and all, and I'm like, you know, put my pajamas on, sitting on the couch. And sometimes you feel like, did I actually just do that? Was I on stage in front of thousands of people last night? You know, because you feel empty. And especially when you come home to an empty home, you know, because my husband is no longer with me. And so you come home to an empty home and it's like, wow. And sometimes you wonder, was I dreaming? You know, was I really, you know, doing that stuff in front of thousands of folks? But yeah, it's a weird feeling. It
Do you
is.
think that that sort of, there are a lot of people in your business, of course, who have a hard time with the whole thing, the celebrity, the fandom, all that, and they get in a bad sort of way. I wonder if that's part of it, because you can't, that it's hard to distinguish, wait, there were people just adoring me and applauding me, and now I'm here by myself. I wonder if that's part of the psychological, you really have to get to understand that, probably. I don't know.
Well, I would imagine because I have no, I mean, I can't, you know, mine is like on a small scale. I mean, I'm not like a, you know, but I think that when you're on that's an extremely elevated scale, like these superstar people, you know, like the superstars. I think it may get, you know, they're in front of all these people adoring them and all, but it's different with me because, how can I say this? Like a lot of times they're like, okay, they want to know. I guess people are figuring out, well, okay, can I hold this momentum? You know, like next, my next album, is it going to work to get me to the same level on my next show? Will the people, you know, love me like they love me now? And then sometimes I think that maybe, insecurity comes in, or stress, not knowing whether you're going to go to that next level of success, and people may turn to alcohol and drugs or that kind of thing. I don't really know. That's not my case. I'm not on that level anyway. But I just think that you know, it's just an empty feeling, like going to you know, one of the hardest things, one of the weirdest things for me is when I was with the Eurythmics. Everything was like laid out for us. Like we didn't have to, you know, our plane tickets, we didn't have to worry about anything. Somebody came to our door at the hotel, got our suitcases. We didn't have to do anything. So that last day of the tour, when you realize you are on your own,
No more special treatment.
more special treatment. No, there are no fans around. Like, oh, you just on your own.
Back
Gotta
to back to
back to reality.
yeah.
Back to reality. So, and sometimes reality can hit you really hard, or sometimes you just take it and just say, okay, I know this is the way it is. Don't take yourself so seriously and just go on to the next step. But I would imagine, and I've never had this, like really superstars, big stars, trying to keep up that momentum to get to the further, the highest level, the next goal, the next part of success, like trying to get that gold or platinum album that next time around. That must really be that must be stressful. I've never experienced that, so I don't know.
Well,
But
and for the fans, we go to see these people, and like you said, Jonice, you spend all this time adoring them while they're on stage, and you guys go back to your rooms and maybe you feel a little empty, and the fans leave and we feel like, wow, we got this great show. But yet there's also a little bit of part of like you feel now you're separated from it because you were right there, these people live that you've been listening to on record, and now you've seen them live. And for me, I do feel a little sense of like, wow, I was there and now I'm not anymore. That the magic is gone.
The magic is gone.
So
It's
both sides of the, like the performer and the fans, they each have their own sets of like I think anxieties afterwards.
But it's amazing. Like with my 90, this my tour I'm on is called Star 80, and it's been going on since 2007. And I tell you, the same people, there's like maybe like a group of 20 who come to almost every show. I don't care what town it's in, to every show. And I'm like, well, how can they come all the time like this? They're just here almost every night from, and they don't get tired, but they tell you, they say no, we get some, it's almost like you all make our day, and we need to, like, we need to be here. We don't care, we'll see you 100 times. It's what makes us happy. And they tell us, we put our coins aside, we have already budgeted ourselves. And this is what we do. It makes me happy. 'Cause I don't know if I could go see somebody, I don't know, like 10, 12, 15, 20 times. I don't know whether I could, but wow. And they're so dedicated. And we always find time, like they'll meet us at the hotel and we'll sit and have a drink, and they'll just say, we feel like you're a part of our family, and it's a good feeling because we couldn't be there without them, and the fans. So it works both ways.
That back and forth, and you're able to do that. That must be very nice. Do you remember the you because you told us on the last podcast, again, the chocolate chip cookie story, the first, but you didn't say what do you remember the first time that you were introduced to Annie? What was do you remember that? I don't, did she offer you a cookie?
No.
She probably said, don't have the cookie.
Cookies. Do you remember? I don't know if you do or not. I don't know.
I assume that they were there at the same time. I don't. He was the first one that I, because he was the first one who approached me, but I'm sure she was there, because we did do the, we worked on the album that same day. But I don't, I mean, I don't remember. I don't know why my memory sticks out meeting him first, because he was so effervescent and so funny, and
A
she was
cookie.
probably laid back, sitting back someplace. But like we got along really well.
They'll just love the stories that you and Jimmy Z have tell about that day, that you all just came in at on your own accord. Ended just you ended up recording and singing and he playing, none of you expecting that, and that they basically used, that was the joy of I guess Dave and Annie back in the day, they were on.
It was spontaneous, and everything just kind of like flowed. Because I was telling Rex earlier, I don't, I know we had to rehearse. I'm sure we had rehearsals. I know we did 6 weeks of rehearsals in LA, but it was all done in and fun and light and breezy. You know, you just didn't feel like you were there, like trying to learn a song, learn a song. It just all just kind of like flowed, and it's just, I don't know. It was just so wistful and just, I don't
Well,
know.
that obviously speaks to how well all of you got along
Yeah.
as a band.
And because we really did. We got along so well. We had so much fun. Yeah. You know, I'm still, huh?
I remember you told a story one time. It might have been just a few years ago. You were walking down the street and you saw Annie
Yeah.
across the street or somewhere, and you were like, Annie, and I think it took her a while to realize who you were, but then.
No, it took me. Listen,
Oh,
it's been a while now. It's at least 20 years ago, if not more than
really?
that.
Okay.
And I was singing at a wedding, and I was walking down Boulevard Saint-Germain, which is one of the most beautiful boulevards in Paris. And I didn't recognize her, but we were walking past, and I heard her say, "Oh, she's stunning." And I recognized her voice. And I turned around and I said, "Annie?" She said, "JJ?" And then that's when, you know,
Oh,
yeah.
that's so sweet.
Oh yeah, it
And
was great.
what a sweet thing to say as she's walking, as she's walking by. Whether you heard it or not, I mean.
But that voice, I remembered her voice, you know. She said, "Oh, she's stunning." And I turned to her because it was just me walking by, you know, and I turned to her. I was like, "God, that's Amy." Yeah.
That's so special.
Yeah.
I love that story. I mean, it's just so good. Everything about it, and you can, and
Yeah.
I think to the rest of it's so visual because we know what both of you look like. We can kind of imagine that. And visual story, you can, it's almost like a film. I imagine you, Jonice, walking down the street, very regal, and Annie was probably have a hat on and a scarf or something. I could be wrong, but.
No, but she didn't. She didn't have a hat on. And she was with a young lady who at the time I think might have been her assistant or something. And then we emailed each other a few times. And then of course, you know, life happens and so.
Right.
But yeah, I was so happy to see her. Yeah.
Well, and preparation for this podcast, I asked a few fellow fans if they had
Right.
for you, Jonice. So I have to go down memory lane for some of these. I'm going to give you some, okay?
Okay.
Mike Wilson of New Zealand. Does Jonice have any cool little mementos or items from the time with Eurythmics that she keeps as a fun memory? Did you keep anything from the tours or anything that?
You know, I kept a few t-shirts, shirts. I don't know where they are now, but for a long time, I wore them morning, noon, and night. I'm sure everybody was sick of seeing the Eurythmics faces plastered on my chest. I wore them morning, noon, and night. I wanted everybody in the world to know I knew those two people. So, but I don't know where they are now. Yeah.
Past weekend, this is what fans call it, was the second annual International Eurythmics T-shirt Day. That's a joke, but what we do. So you could have been part of that if you could find one of those T-shirts.
If I could find them, yeah, I don't know. They might be in the attic. I don't know where they are now, but yeah.
On eBay, they're like $300.
My God, isn't that something? Yeah, I don't know where they are now. I had one that I used to paint, and I think paint got all over that one.
You
Yeah.
paint. You painted while wearing a Eurythmic shirt.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that horrible?
Actually, hey, paint specs on it.
Yeah.
Kind of artsy.
Exactly. But yeah.
Keep your tour outfit, that black coat and those white
Yeah, I
black.
still have that. I
Do
have
you?
that.
Oh, that's
I have
fantastic.
that. I have the gray, you know, there was a gray jacket with wide leg gray pants.
Revival. Yeah.
Yeah, I have that somewhere. In fact, I because that style is coming back. I'd love to find those pants. I have that. Yeah. I did keep those.
Were those clothes made for them, or were those like
No, they
designer
were
clothes that were
made.
bought?
They were, if I recall, I think they were made. Well, for me anyway, they were made because Annie was very slender, so she could probably go, but I people, things had to be made for me, So yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Brian Brazil of Virginia would like to know, I'd love to hear her memories of the Missionary Man video shoot. Do you remember any of that? And it was so cool the part that you're in, and there's all these big things moving up and down. That was probably before CGI, so it was all there.
It was all there.
So it must have been very strange to be seeing and kind of figuring out what's this going to look like. But can you got any memories from the video shoot?
Well, one thing I remember is my makeup. The makeup artist who did me was Janet Jackson's makeup person, and there are times when she made me almost look like Janet Jackson, but And yeah, there was a lot going on. There was a lot going on. I remember it was really big. It was in a huge space, if I recall. And there was a lot of stuff going on, but I can't really. I don't honestly. I don't remember it all. I remember that delightful black young lady who was in it, who was in the clip. Who kind of played off of Annie? There's one section.
And the same.
Oh, I can't. The sound's going in.
It was in the. She was wearing the same kind of outfit that Annie did.
Right, hairstyle the same. She was very, very sweet. But the rest I don't quite. I can't remember it all. But I just know that all of it was just a great experience. It was just a great experience. Wow.
All right.
I remember more the videos that we did in Paris, Thorn in My Side, and When Tomorrow Comes, because we did it here in Paris in this huge warehouse place, and that was a lot of fun.
You record the same time, I mean the same time period when tomorrow comes.
Those videos were done, I will say, around the same time that we all met at the recording. It wasn't too long after that. We didn't really know each other. And they were done pretty rapidly there in Paris. And
That
then
would
when
have.
we went to LA to do the rehearsals, is when we did the video clip in LA.
Missionary Man. Yeah, so that probably would have been like early 86, like late
Yeah,
winter.
definitely, definitely, definitely 86. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
By the way, you
Oh,
look
yeah.
so good in that Thorn in My Side video. You know, the close-ups of you and Annie, and you've got those colored ribbons in your braids.
The long braid.
You did that. I mean, and what a that video is so bright and colorful, which is at odds with the sentiment of the song, you know.
And I think that might be the reason why I remember those more vividly, because even though Missionary Man has so much going on visually and stuff, but I remember more vividly the starkness of the other videos. It was like very crisp and very bright, and So I remember that more than the Missionary Man video.
Mark, how are we doing on time? I know you had a stop at some point.
Well, I'm good. Let me try to get through some questions
Okay.
for McCraney of Virginia. Also, what's your favorite venue to play? What was her favorite venue to play, and what was her least favorite venue? Do you have like? Yeah, I guess that can be any time. But was there one that you said, "Oh, wow, this is the best place. I love performing here."
I would have to say the Greek Theater. That was one of our early
Los
performances.
Angeles, right?
Yeah. The Greek theater, like the amphitheater, it's huge, and that was very nice. It was outside, and yeah, that I will always remember that one. Of course, maybe not so much the venue, but just the occasion. The Prince's Trust.
Oh, yeah.
That's very memorable, and I because Princess Diana was there, and we were able to curtsy and do all of that, and Prince Charles was there, and he had such a great sense of humor. He was so funny, and yeah, those kind of stick out. And then of course, well, Australia. I mean, Sydney was fantastic. Sydney was great. Yeah,
That's where the
yeah.
video, right? The Eurythmics
Yeah,
Live.
that's yeah, right. The live. Yeah.
Filmed on my birthday, just saying.
Oh, on your birthday? Okay.
Said 14 February 1987, my 21st birthday.
What is that? It was in February. Yeah, it would have to be. It was so hot for me, it was like summer, but it was our winter, but their summer. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
There must have been a lot of really hot outdoor tours on or performances on that tour.
Hot, extremely hot. The sun, you know that. When I left Australia, I had freckles. Had freckles. It was the sun brought out my freckles. I didn't even know I had freckles, but I had them.
You think
It
Dave
was
Ranney,
so hot.
do you think Dave Ranney ever regretted doing leather for that tour when it was so hot?
Well, it wasn't noticeable. If they
No.
did, you'd never know it.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, you never know it. Couldn't
Course.
tell.
Now you're wearing a black overcoat and
Yeah, that's right. It wasn't leather, but yeah, and yeah, it was hot. It was hot. It was hot. It was very hot. And then I had a few problems, but I trudged through it. The heat was so dry, and so it dried out my voice. You know, it dried your throat. And it's almost like how they say a Vegas voice. You've heard that expression, Vegas voice. The
Yes.
singers of Las Vegas, the heat is so hot and dry that it takes your voice away. Well, Sydney was very similar.
That's
Yeah.
interesting. That leads to this actually question, and it's from Mark Taylor from Australia. And he did, and this will speak to this, I bet, because he also told me that he drove like 1,100 kilometers or whatever to one of the revival tour concerts that ended up getting canceled because Annie was sick. And I wonder if it was because of the dryness and all that that she got sick once. But his question is, what was her performance highlight with Eurythmics? If she had to just pick one thing, what would you say to people? That's the highlight of being with Eurythmics. Do you
Oh my God, there's just not one thing. It's just not one thing. I mean, it's just not the highlight for me was being considered because they never made me feel like I was just a backup singer. They really included us all as if we were really a unit. And for me, that was such a highlight because I had not been used to that. Because in France, it's totally different. When you are a backup singer, they don't consider you a singer. They consider you because, okay, say for instance, in France, singer is chanteuse. Backup singer is choriste. So you are always a choriste and you never get to be a chanteuse. They really make a difference.
That's
So you
interesting.
always are just will be a they always consider you a backup singer and not a singer. But you can't be a backup singer if you're not a singer.
Right.
So you know, but in France it's totally different. So when I had that experience where I wasn't just considered a backup singer, I was considered a singer and a part of their unit. And that the whole thing was just a highlight. You know, one other thing for me, I guess, is when we played in Washington, D.C., where, you know, my hometown, well, where I'm from, where I grew up. And I had a whole host of I think I might have told you this.
Oh,
My
you're
church,
yeah.
the buses and cousins and everybody came. And then when she said, she introduced me to Johnny's Jameson from Washington, D.C., and like the people just, yeah.
Yeah, that must have been really
was
special.
great.
That's a pretty,
Yeah.
I think we do have to end in just a minute. Let me get in one more question from Eric from Minnesota. He just was curious if the band dealt with that and on the Revenge tour that Ball and Chain changed completely over the course of the tour from an electric guitar opening and then sort of that response, the call and response between you and Annie, the addition of Day Tripper. And I think what he's asking here too is, even throughout those tours, they could change things up. And what was that like, I guess, trying to, okay, but I think we've talked about that in one sense. It's all very fluid with Dave and Annie, and it seems like it all worked out with all of you that
It
whatever.
all just worked out because I think that once we actually like we had no rehearsals. Once the tour started, there was no rehearsal. So what might have happened, Dave might have come out on stage, maybe doing a sound check, and he may have started doing that, and it just caught on, and we just knew, okay, y'all, you're doing that tonight. Okay, we'll follow. Because once the tour started, there were no more rehearsals or anything. And very rarely sound checks because the sound was always impeccable. The sound guys were like some of the greatest. And so the sound was always impeccable. So we rarely had a sound check. So I don't know how that segment slid in, but it slid in. And I guess we all just hopped on it and just, kept it going. But I don't remember even, like him saying, okay, guys, we're going to rehearse this today because I have an idea. I want to like add this in and all of that. I don't recall that kind of thing.
It was
It just
more
kind of like,
natural. And probably kind of exciting too to do it that way, like, oh, we're going to change it up a little bit, and isn't this fun? And
less
without that
stressful.
structure of like, okay, now we're
It
learning
just
a new
happens.
song. Yeah.
Sure.
Great.
Well,
Oh, yeah.
it's been I can't believe it's been an hour or so already.
Me either.
I know
Gosh.
Rex is going to say the same thing, but you were such a pleasure, Johnny's. I mean, just to, I love talking to you. I just do.
Thank you so
You
much, and
too.
it's a pleasure for me to speak with you both. It's just a pleasure, my goodness. So much fun.
It totally is. And the next time I'm in Paris, Joanice, we'll have to meet for
Yes.
coffee or something.
Well, have you been to Paris since we've known each other?
I've been to Paris. I was in Paris in 2011 was the last time. That was kind of
Okay.
before all this. Had I been there
Yeah.
after I'd gotten to know you, I would have been like, Joanice, I'm here.
Sure,
But
exactly.
I will be making it back there. Now that I'm retired, we're planning on doing a lot of traveling. So
Good, good, good.
definitely,
Great.
yeah.
Oh,
So
he's
we'll meet up. Yeah. I can
Are
give
you?
you a hug in person.
Absolutely.
Do you doubt, without a doubt, we would love to have you back anytime on the podcast, of course.
Oh, thank you so much. I'd love to be back. I'll be whenever you say I'll be there. I'll be back. I'll
Yeah,
be back.
and if there's something you want to talk about relating to your current projects or tours or whatever, reach out to us. We don't always have to talk solely about Eurythmics.
Right. Well, I'm on a great tour, having a blast. It's been going on since 2007, and we're a bunch of oldies and but goodies and just having a good time.
That's
Yeah.
great. Everyone
Yeah.
tours then. All right. Thank you so much. We love
Thank
you.
you.
Just love you so much. Thank you
Love
so much.
you guys too.
Love you
Love you.
too.
Big kiss
Yeah.
to Amy. I
Thank
see
you
her
so
sometimes on
much.
Facebook. Okay. Thank you guys. Mwah. Bye.
Bye.